You missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
If you were listening to Seize the World this morning, you would have heard a conversation around the concerns of scammers, right? Who typically might come to you and say, hey, I need money. And again, it was a very intricate conversation, but one where sometimes people genuinely request your help and then are left disappointed because you can no longer fulfill the promise and the objective that you had put before. And sometimes there are genuine scammers out there who look at you, observe that you're quite responsible with your money, and might just quite literally want to take you for a ride and take advantage of human prejudices that you might have in order for them to become victims. Well, we're going to discuss this now as to how scammers exploit psychology, especially when it comes to money. Trust and credibility are two characteristics that sit top of mind there. And we're going to deep dive into it with clinical psychologist, Dr. Kosi Chiane. Such a pleasure to have you, Dr. Chiane. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. Great to be here.
Oh, I'm excited to talk about this one because it hits close to home for all of us, especially when you look back and you realize, my goodness, I trusted this person, but I was scammed. And maybe let's just start there, understanding scamming as a significant theme and just the psychological impact it has on us before we talk about how scammers use psychology.
Sure. Scamming is really, I would say, one of the most deep-reaching forms of betrayal that we could experience, the feeling of being made a fool, the feeling of being hoodwinked, the humiliation, and very much, unfortunately, blaming ourselves and beating ourselves down for having fallen prey to the cunnings of a scammer.
Yep. And I agree with you here, because typically when someone does try to get to you, or when you do extend yourself, even if it's your time, your money, or other resources, you do so from an emotional point of view, right? That, ooh, I feel for this person and I choose to give. So maybe let's talk about that dynamic of psychology, yep, but also emotions and how they come to play.
You know, it's so interesting. You know, that you say it's an emotional thing because it tugs at your heartstrings. Mm-hmm. It touches a very deep nerve within human beings as social, relational, and emotional beings, because what it asks of you is to reach very deeply within your own heart and find a place of compassion, a place of empathy, a place of resonance, where you would say, if I were in the same situation, this is what I would wish somebody would do for me, would extend themselves to me. And therefore, I put myself in this person's shoes and I dig deep into my pocket and, you know, offer a hand up to another person, only to find that you've been hoodwinked, you know, wool has been pulled over your eyes. And as someone who has personally experienced that, I know very much just what an emotional roller coaster and turmoil that it throws you into. You know, it makes you feel like you are not thinking correctly. You know, it makes you feel taken advantage of, exploited, and taken for a ride. And it makes you question, you know, the humanity of people. But it also makes you question your own gullibility to an extent.
Yeah, that's true. Right? Because the typical response is like, how could I be so stupid?
Exactly. I should have seen this.
And the reason why I want to remind our listeners we're having this conversation is because it is that time of the year where we do see scammers taking people for a ride, quite literally. And this is highlighted in Momentum Insure's Circle of Safety, really trying to educate all of us just to be aware of how scams typically take place. And as you've said, sometimes it's an SMS. Sometimes it's an email or perhaps even a post on social media that will pull at your emotions and psychology. Yeah. But let's talk about how they reel us in. And it seems as though it's always that first, the first hook literally speaks to a level of trust and credibility.
Yeah. I think there are different levels of scamming, you know, and it was so enlightening for me to learn about just how broad and how deep and how subtle sometimes scamming can be. Through the circle of safety, you know, I got a whole new world opened up for me to the extent that I am just so hypervigilant. And just recently, I was renewing my motor car disc. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, for some reason, I was trying to remember, how did I do it last year? And I've always been one that's advocated and said, you know, with so much scams going on, I don't want to hand over my car things to people I don't even know for these queuing services and so on, to people I don't even know, because once it leaves my hands, I have no control and even more so, no way of knowing who it goes to and what they do with that. And it was confirmed through the circle of safety, you know, that at different levels, for example, one of the guys in our first season, you know, he said, all you need to have to be scammed is an ID and an ID number.
Ah, yes.
That's all it takes.
That's very true. And that's the frustration part, right? Is the vulnerability of your documents and information that could be out there. We might have the Papia Act in South Africa, but there's a lot of frustration that there's leakages in terms of that data. So are there ways within which we, you know, we can just try to be a little bit more mindful, cognitive, and, you know, and trust our emotions?
Yeah, and I guess it is about being mindful. It is about being vigilant, hyper-vigilant, perhaps even necessary to be hyper-vigilant, because anything can happen at any time. And if you are underprepared, then you are more likely to be more vulnerable to these sorts of things. So to go back to our original discussion, you know, so you were saying just even having an ID number, that's all it took for him to be able to scam people out of at least like 600,000. But overall, you know, he mentioned that to the tune of about 6 to 8 million that he was able to get out of people simply because they have an ID number. And he was able to access and clone and do all sorts of things out of just people having an ID number. They don't even know, he said, that. And the problem will come when they do return to the country and find that their names, their credit, their IDs have been used to commit so many, you know, scams, it will be a problem. But there's another level of people who scam out of survival.
Yes.
And for some people, it starts at that level. And even out of survival, there's two different types of survival. So let's say out of poverty and hunger. A person, you know, is just really against the wall of life. Mm. And it's sheer desperation. And the only option perhaps is to, you know, reach out to a somebody out there. And then you have those that are also out of need, but a different type of need. And this is where a predominant majority of those people are in some form of substance use and dependence and addictions. There's a desperation that comes with that that knows no boundaries.
I get it. Because you just want what you want, right? And that's how
Absolutely.
Far addiction can
and the body and the chemical wants what it wants. And hence, I always say to people, we really need to think about how we talk about these things. For example, we talk about drug abuse. Mm-hmm. You will never abuse a drug. A drug is a chemical. It has no life. The only abuse is towards yourself and then in turn towards others in the sense of scamming other people. But you can never abuse drugs. So that's another pocket of conversation. And then there are those that are more than narcissistic, psychopath and sociopathic. Mm-hmm. You know, scammers, and those do it for the thrill of it, just because they can.
Sure, this is so intriguing, because what we're realizing is that there's so many different factors that can motivate one to play on psychology to scam. And I guess, you know, when you're on the receiving end of it, you can't tell the difference, and you don't want to be taken for granted or misused.
Absolutely.
And scammed.
Yeah, and it can evolve. So, for example, a person may have started out of real actual need, hunger, right? And then it works for them. And then it becomes self-fulfilling and self-reinforcing. And then it becomes a vicious cycle to the point that they may do it so well and make so much money that they don't need to continue, but they continue now for a different reason because they can.
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is important for people to also realize, because there might be individuals who do use these tactics, but they're not even aware of it. They just think, oh, well, it's normal. And when you call them out for it, then it's met with a heightened level of resistance. Sheesh, this takes us to a whole nother conversation, right? When you have to call
it
out.
It does, absolutely.
Yeah, someone to say, you keep asking me for money. Why aren't you, you know, doing something yourself?
Or exactly.
You can't keep coming back to me for some assistance, right? That's a natural response people typically have. How should we address that to bring enlightenment to the conversation without imposing harm?
You're saying if somebody keeps...
If you want to call someone out who you think might be scamming you, or think might be pulling at your emotions or the psychology of the addiction, how do you call it out if you do identify it?
Right. I think the first calling it out is more for yourself and towards yourself. You need to have a clear sense of, okay, maybe the first time, fine. Maybe the second. But by the time you move to the second level, you need to have a conversation with yourself about how much longer am I going to be part of this cycle of, you know, dependence and coming back. How much longer am I going to be? And you need to then have a boundary for yourself that says you may have been a victim the first time when you didn't know. But now that you know, you become a participant and no longer a victim, because you're making that choice consciously at this stage.
Gotcha.
And so you need to set the boundary for yourself so that you can set the boundary for another person. And you need to let them know, for example, the first time they ask, you give it to them. The second time you say, I'm giving it to you for the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to honor your own boundary.
Yep, definitely. Very true.
And hold yourself accountable to it, because otherwise you're no longer being scammed, but you're a participant and a co-creator of this behavior.
Boundaries. Oh, the B word that always comes out. Mm-hmm. We'll have to leave it here for tonight, but really appreciate that you've given us a better understanding of psychology and how it does play a role and function in how we use our money, how people try to use us for money, and of course how we also need to break the cycle of using it in incorrect manners to scam people or being a victim of a scam. But thank you so much for your time this evening, Dr. Gianni.
My absolute pleasure.
Thank you. Have a good evening. That's Dr. Khosi Gianni, clinical psychologist there, helping us understand how scammers...
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.